We're finishing up our series on. Got the button backwards here. On your shape today. This is week six. We're going to finish up, and hopefully you participated in most of these. I would ask for your prayers. Saturday is the JFK. If some of you don't know, that's the 50-mile race that actually two of us, I think, are running this year. It's going to be my ninth year in a row, but John Gates is doing it for the first time. So you might give him a word of encouragement. I think he's taking care of kids this morning, so he's not in here. But he's going to start at 5 o'clock in the morning, so you can get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and pray for him on Saturday. I'll start at 7, and somewhere along the line I'll probably catch up with him, maybe pass him. But Saturday, no, he's going to walk, that's why. I'm going to be running, he's going to be walking, that's why I'm going to catch up with him. Pray for us, and there's over 1,000 other people, crazy people you might say, going to be doing this Saturday, so right here in our county, so pray for us. All right, let's get into our study. Shape. Today's we're going to cover the letter E, which stands for experience, so employing your experience. And we're going to start with our theme verse in Job chapter 10, verse 8. God's hands formed and shaped me. So you are the way you are because God made you that way. You're not an accident. You're not just a result of random events. You are you because God made you you. And that should be pretty significant. We've already covered the spiritual gifts. And if you missed any of these weeks, you can listen to the teaching online. So we all have spiritual gifts. They're all different. We all have different hearts or passions, things that excite us. We all have different abilities. We have different personality. And I really got a lot of feedback last week. Everybody's trying to figure out their personality and, you know, laughing about their spouses being different and so forth. So that was fun. And today we're going to talk about experiences. Now, we all operate out of a data bank of experiences. And you judge things from your experiences. For example, if I was to say to you, parenting is easy, you're going to look in your data bank and say, the pastor's crazy, right? Parenting is one of the hardest things in the world to do. On the other hand, if I was to say to you, high school was fun, some of you, like my wife, would probably say yes. Some of us, like me, would say, it wasn't that much fun. I enjoyed the learning part, the classes. All right? So we'd all have a different response based on our experiences, right? Or what if I said to you, crime doesn't pay? Well, hopefully most of you would say, yeah, well, I don't know, but I don't think it does. But some of you may say, yeah, I know so-and-so, and they seem to be doing fine, and they're dishonest. So we operate from this data bank of experiences. The interesting thing about many of our experiences, though, are that many are out of our control, right? You're driving down the road, and somebody runs into you. That was out of your control, right? A lot of things are out of your control. So, as believers, we need to understand that God customizes our experiences for us. And we'll see why here in a minute as we go through here. Our experiences shape you. We have different types of experiences. I'm just going to give you a couple general categories. We have family and relational experiences. We all grew up in different homes. We have different experiences. Has anybody ever said to you, you're just like your mom or you're just like your dad? Well, why would you be like them? Well, because that's part of your experience. And so you learn things from them. We have different educational experiences. We went to different schools, or like our kids are homeschooled. We read different books. We've done different seminars and colleges and all kinds of different educational experiences. Then we have spiritual experiences. There are church experiences, retreat experiences, your daily time with God experiences, all kinds of spiritual experiences. Then vocational experiences. We all have different types of jobs and jobs we like, jobs we didn't like, some jobs we just did because we had to. Some of us gotten fired from jobs. So we have all those vocational experiences. And then we got a special category called painful experiences. And we'll get into this a little bit later, but we've all had hurt in our lives, haven't we? And we'll see what God has designed from that. A good example of painful experiences from Scripture would be a guy named by the name of Joseph. When he was a teenager, his life went downhill for the next, until he was about 30 years old. First off, his brothers sold him into slavery. All right, so now he's in a life of slavery. He was carried off into a foreign country, so now he's living as a foreigner. He winds up in this guy named Potiphar's household, and eventually he does such a good job, he winds up running the household. But then Potiphar's wife was attracted to Joseph and tried to seduce him, and he resisted. He should get kudos for that, obviously. But then she lied to her husband and said that he tried to rape her. So then, miraculously, he wasn't killed. He was put in prison. So now he's gone from slavery to prison life. In prison, after a while, he became respected as help and helped run the prison. One day, this guy's had some dreams, and he interpreted them for them, and he said one was going to die, one was going to be put back in a position with the king, and he said, "Don't forget me." Well, guess what happened? He forgot him. Until one day, the king, the Pharaoh, had a dream, and he was remembered. So from a teenage years to 30 years of age, Joseph's life was very painful, we might say. And we get to the end of his life here, and we got a scripture verse that is one of those verses in scripture that just amazes me every time I read it. All right? He's talking to his brothers here. He is now the second most powerful person in the world. And he's talking to his brothers, and here's what he says. "You intended to harm me." He sold him into slavery, right? They were going to kill him. One brother had to talk him out of doing that. "But God intended it all," circle that word, "for good." Now, I don't know about you. I don't know if I'd feel that way. But that was Joseph's testimony at the end of his life. And he said this: "He brought me to this position so I could save the lives of many people." So there's hundreds, thousands of people going to survive because of what's happened to me, the bad things that's happened to me. So no, don't be afraid. You and I don't need to be afraid. Did God have a plan for Joseph's life when he was in slavery, when he was in prison? Absolutely. His experiences were custom designed to get him to be the person and be where he was when God needed him. You think it's true of your experiences? Absolutely. You and I are no different than Joseph. God has a purpose and a plan for our experiences. So let's look at them for a few minutes this morning. God's intention behind your experiences. I want to look at something Jesus said first in John chapter 13, verse 7. "You don't realize now what I'm doing," he's talking to his disciples, "but later you will understand." You know, sometimes you read through the New Testament and you just scratch your head. The disciples seem to be so dense. Jesus would tell them things, "I'm going to die and resurrected," and they didn't get it. But he said, "Later you will understand." And that's true of many of our experiences. You know, when we're going through them, it's hard. I'm sure Joseph didn't understand what was happening to him. It's hard to understand. But later, and I have to say this, put a caveat, maybe you will understand. I guess ultimately later in heaven, you and I will understand. Hindsight's 20/20, right? Sure. But we don't always know how to interpret those things when we look back on them. We often say, "Why is this happening to me?" And God says, "Well, maybe later you'll understand." So, my experiences are, first, intended to teach me to trust God. My experiences are intended to teach me to trust God. It's kind of strange, but we don't really trust God as much as we should, and especially when things are going pretty well, right? So our experiences, especially our negative experiences, are meant to teach us to trust it. Reading from 2 Corinthians. "We believe now that we had this experience of coming to the end of our tether," so it was a negative experience, "that we might learn to trust, not in ourselves," because that's what we tend to do, right? "But in God, who can raise the dead." Now, I think it's a pretty good idea to trust somebody that can raise the dead. Wouldn't you? Wouldn't you agree? That's a pretty good person to trust. But so often we try and trust in ourselves. In fact, the Message paraphrase says we are forced to trust God totally in those negative experiences. You probably heard this expression, you never know that God is all you need until he's all you have. So our experiences are to teach us to trust God. Sometimes God just kicks out the crutches. Sometimes we have to actually fall flat on our face so we can learn to trust God. One of our pretty popular, famous Southern Baptist seminary professors some years ago caught cancer. And near the end of his life, he had this testimony to his students. I've been to the bottom, and it's rock solid. What do you mean? Yeah, I'm facing death, and still God's there. So I'd like to ask you something this morning. Some of you, I got a few from the first service. If you might jot down on your card the greatest lesson that God has taught you this year. All right? I'm going to keep going on. You can do it now or do it at the end of the service. The greatest lesson God has taught you this year, specifically through your experiences, not through some class that you've taken. So the basic theme is this. God is in control, and I'm not. Right? But since he's in control, it's okay. So do you and I trust him? Are we learning to trust him more this year than we did last year? Well, that's why your experiences and mine are what they're intended to do. Secondly, they're intended to build my character. They're intended to build my character. God wants you and I to continue to mature, right? And it's kind of funny, but we don't really mature very much from just reading about stuff. Just, I don't know, it's just the way we're designed, wired, whatever. How do I know that? Because the Bible tells us that. And here's one verse. We know that suffering, not reading a book, produces perseverance. And perseverance produces character, and character produces hope. So if we don't have suffering, there's not going to be much character development, is there? Now, I'm like you. I don't like it any more than you do. But I truly desire to be more mature in Christ, so that's part of the deal, right? What are some character qualities? Let me give you a couple. First example, integrity. Doing the right thing when it's maybe easier to do the wrong thing. That's integrity. So when you're filling out your taxes, for example, you could cheat on your taxes, probably won't get caught. I don't know how many percentage of people they audit, but integrity says, no, I'm going to do this. I'm going to put it down accurately, my income on my taxes. How about endurance? That's a character quality. Keep on when you want to quit. I'm going to feel that way on Saturday, right? I'll get to the 30-mile mark and want to quit or whatever. But that's not really what I'm talking about here. I'm talking about things like a relationship. And you and your spouse aren't getting along, and you're arguing a lot and hanging in there. Or maybe a negative job experience. You don't like your job. You got a boss that you don't get along with, or some other employees hanging in there with that. Or a ministry. You're involved in some ministry, and there's people responding negatively or some negative impact. Endurance is hanging in there. Another character quality is responsibility. Keeping your word even when it's hard to at personal cost. You ever promise somebody something and then when the time came, it was really going to be really, really difficult to fulfill that promise, but you did it anyway? That's a character quality of responsibility. But then Scripture says here in Proverbs chapter 20, verse 30, sometimes it takes a painful experience to make us change our ways. You think that's true? Let me ask you a question. This just blew me away in the first service. How many of you, your parents told you not to touch a hot stove? How many of your parents taught you that? All right. Now, here's the big question. How many of you touched a hot stove? All right. Same thing in the first service. How many of you have taught your kids not to touch a hot stove? Well, I did that. How many of your kids have touched a hot stove? All right, not quite as many. Maybe they're not old enough yet. But anyway, why is that? You know, you see a sign, wet paint. What do you do? You go over and touch it. Now, it's not very painful other than maybe trying to get the paint off your fingers. But why don't we just believe the sign? Why don't we believe our parents? Because sometimes it just takes a painful experience to learn it. You know, each generation has to learn some of these lessons on their own, unfortunately, don't they? We're just not good at taking advice, I guess. But our experiences are intended to build my character. And the third thing they're intended to do is to accomplish God's purpose. God's got a purpose or purposes for you and I, and he designs our experiences so we can fulfill that purpose. I talked about relationship problems. Back in our 13th year of marriage, my wife and I went to marriage counseling. We weren't getting along. We didn't like each other. And now and we're going to talk about this in a few minutes, we have experience to help share and help other couples. All right. If that happened, I've told you this before. If my marriage had been great, if somebody came to me with a marriage problem and said, "What's the matter with you? Just do what the Bible says." That would be my advice, right? Because I hadn't experienced the difficulty of living with somebody with different personality, right? So, God has a purpose in your experiences. Now, Paul, we don't know much about his early life. Probably went pretty well. But after he became a believer, it was pretty rough, wasn't it? He talks about how many times he was in prison and times he was stoned, he was shipwrecked, etc. And then he's in prison at the time he's writing this in Philippians, to the Philippian church, and here's what he says. Everything, now that's a pretty bold statement, right? Everything that has happened to me here has helped to spread the good news. So he was running these experiences through his data bank and saying, is this helping to spread the good? Yeah. Yeah, this is helping spread the good news. And so he had saw a greater purpose in his suffering. The fact is, we're not always going to understand our experiences. So even if we understand them or not, how can we make the most of our experiences? And to lead into this, we're going to show you a clip from not the new Soul Surfer movie, but the old one about the teenage girl that had her shark bit off her arm. Listen to what she has to say.
A lot of times we don't understand what God's doing in our life, but there's always something good that's going to come out of it.
Maybe you saw her on Oprah, maybe you saw her on 2020, maybe you saw her with Letterman or with Leno. Today you're going to see her.
And it was just 2 years ago that she lost her arm in a terrible shark attack. Bethany Hamilton.
A surfer who survived a shark attack throughout the first pitch before tonight's Yankees game.
Bethany Hamilton is here to show us how she's helping others overcome their own tragedy.
But in between, we live out our dream until the third scene, when it's still a hope, a regular deal, and a self-esteem. 2 years of my life, I'm depressed in me, not only pray about...
I started getting asked to be on a lot of TV shows and do interviews and all that. I just see it as a chance to share my faith and my story and give people that are losing hope in life, give people hope for their life.
Do you almost see it as a blessing in disguise?
Definitely. I have a faith in Jesus Christ and I know that he has plans for my life.
This is not a victim. This is a little girl that's going to take an event and turn it into a mission and actually help millions of people around the world.
I just wanted to encourage people to follow their dreams and never give up, and just, Jesus loves you.
If you were given the opportunity to lift up the name of Jesus, and every media production in the world slams a microphone in your face, you can do a lot with one or two words.
I think that I got my courage from Jesus Christ. He says, be strong.
And God uses people like Bethany to show the world that her walk with God is normal, that it's real, and that's the only reason she does all this.
Her walk with God is normal and real. Now, I don't think anybody here would want a shark to bite off their arm. But if she just lived a normal teenage life, you know, how much impact would she have had on the world probably? Very little. But she's impacted millions of people. Did God have a purpose in that? I don't want to say God is cruel, but God had a purpose in allowing that to happen to her. So how about your experiences? Let's look at them. How to use your experiences of life. Let me give you four suggestions this morning. See, there's a difference between your experiences making you bitter and making you better. What's the difference in those two words? It's a little vowel, but E for an I, right? You and I get to choose how we respond. She could have been a victim, couldn't she? But she wasn't. Same with you and I. So let's first examine your experiences. You know, some people just kind of go through life never examining, evaluating, just keep going. It's really, really important to say, ask yourself, what's really happened? Scripture says it this way. Did all your experience mean nothing at all? Surely it meant something. Has all your painful experiences brought you nowhere? Haven't learned anything? We've probably all done it, but we all probably know people who keep making the same mistake over and over, right? Didn't learn from experience. So, for example, instead of saying, well, that was a good job, what was good about that job? What is it that you really liked? Something maybe a bad experience, a bad relationship. You have a breakup with someone, and you say, that was a bad experience. No. What went wrong? What did you do wrong? Well, I enjoyed that class. No. What exactly did you enjoy about that class? Examine the experiences. Figure out why you had the reaction or interpretation you have. Someone has said this, an unexamined experience is a wasted experience. Don't waste your experiences. Especially don't waste your hurts. One of the big reasons you can keep making the same mistake. Especially important with our failures. Now, a failure is not a sin. But none of us want to be failures over and over again. So it's really important to examine our failures and say, okay, what went wrong? What could I do differently in the future? You probably know this quote, those who refuse to study history are doomed to repeat it. And it means your own personal history. So, does experience teach everyone? We say experience is the best teacher. Does experience teach everyone? No. It only teaches the teachable. Some people continue making the same mistakes. So examine, evaluate your experiences. Secondly, extract the lesson you learned. All right. By extracting, you figure out what it is, and you take advantage of it. You apply it to your life. What can I learn from this experience? Instead of asking why, that's what we usually ask. Why is this happening to me? So ask, what can I learn? What's God's intent for me to learn? What principles, etc.? Reading from Deuteronomy chapter 11. Remember what you have learned about the Lord. How did you learn? Through your experiences with Him. We talk about a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ. The way I've learned about my wife is how? Through a personal experience with Him. How do you learn about God? And of course, we have the Bible. But through your personal experiences with Him. The word remember shows up in Scripture a lot. We did a communion first service last week. And it says, do this in remembrance of me. Why does the Bible use the word remember so much? Remember, remember, remember. Because what is our natural tendency? To forget, not to remember. And again, if you don't remember or you don't study, you're doomed to repeat the mistakes. Does God want us to repeat our mistakes? Obviously not. The Israelites were really bad at this. Over 400 years in slavery, God and Moses shows up, all the miraculous plagues, and the Pharaoh lets them go. Miracles of all miracles. Now you're free. Before you know it, they're up against the Red Sea, and what do? Oh, no! We're going to all die. Well, wait a minute. They just saw these 10 miraculous plagues. Oh, no, we're all going to die. So God divides the Red Sea. They walk through on dry land, wipes out the Egyptian army. They go out into the desert. Don't have anything to drink. Oh, no, we're going to die. We don't have anything to drink. Well, wait a minute. Didn't God just do this, and does God do this? You don't remember very well, so he gives them water. And then they don't have food to eat. Oh, no, we're going to die. We don't have food to eat. Well, wait a minute. Didn't God get you out of Egypt, through the Red Sea, give you water when you needed it? And so then he gave them food when they needed it. Now, I don't want to be too hard on these guys because they're probably not much different than you and I. Because we don't remember very well either, do we? Some new crisis comes up in our life and we say, oh, no. Well, wait a minute. Isn't God the same God that took care of you up to this point? So extract the lessons you learn. Remember, maturity is the ability to extract lessons from everyday life. That's a sign of maturity. Now, often we have to learn from what's called the school of hard knocks, right? That's how we learn things. Touching the stove. And there's two basic lessons to this school, or two rules. First rule, if you flunk, you get to take the class again, just like regular school, right? So if God brings you through an experience to try and teach you something and you don't learn it, guess what you get to do? You get to go through it again. So my advice to you would be to learn it the first time, right? Second rule is, once you've learned it, or once you think you've graduated, guess what? God's got another class for you to take. So we never graduate on this side of heaven anyway. So extract the lessons from your experience. Thirdly, exploit the experiences of others. All right? We're not real good at this, but this is important. But let me ask you, do you and I have the time to learn everything we need to learn through experience? Especially multiple times? We don't. So let's try and learn from the experience of others. Someone said this, the average person learns from his own experiences. The wise person learns from the experience of others. The fool doesn't learn from either. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17. People learn from one another just as iron sharpens iron. Or people should or can. We can if we put forth the effort. How do we learn from others? Well, think about a three-year-old child. How do they learn? You ever had a three-year-old? Ever been around a three-year-old? What do they do all day long? Why? Right? That's how they're learning. Now, I don't want you to go around knowing everybody. You're saying, hey, why? But ask questions, all right? Go around and ask questions. You want to be a better learner? Ask better questions. You know, it's interesting how God brings people into our lives for specific purposes. A guy by the name of Chuck came to church here, I don't know, 6-7 years ago for a while. And he had been a professional tile layer. In fact, he'd gotten so bored with it that he had stopped doing it, kind of got into remodeling. But anyway, we were building an addition onto the church at the time. And so we wanted to put ceramic tile back there. And I told you a couple weeks ago that, you know, I learned to lay ceramic tile since I've been in my 50s. Well, I offered to help him. Okay? So we did the bathrooms back there first, and then we did the kitchen. And the whole time we're doing this, what am I doing? Why are we doing this? Or how do we do this? Show me how to do this. And then I laid a ceramic tile here at church. I've laid it at my house and my kids' houses. I learned from the experience of someone else. That's the whole idea of apprenticeships, right? To learn from the experience of others. Now, some lessons are lessons on what not to do, right? And one of the richest sources of information or places to get the best advice is from people who've made mistakes. And that's the whole concept behind recovery groups, right? Someone's had a problem with alcohol, joins AA, or drugs, or sex addiction. You go to a support group where you try and learn from the negative experience of others. And we all can take advantage of that because the scripture says here in Proverbs 25, a warning given by an experienced person. Somebody's been there and done that. To someone willing to listen is more valuable than gold. It could be financially beneficial to you. Avoid some of these mistakes. But just not making the mistakes some other folks have made, not ruining relationships, for example, is that worth more than gold? Can you put a price tag on that? You can't. Learn from the experience of others. Now, what is the richest source of human experience that we have? It's this book right here. This book isn't like any other book. This book is full of truth. I can read a book, a biography or autobiography of somebody. It's going to be slanted, right? It's going to be biased in there. There's no bias in this book. For example, King David, one of the greatest believers in the Bible, right? You know, he read this miraculous stuff, killing Goliath and all this stuff as a teenager, had this tremendous faith. The scripture describes him as a man after God's own heart. I wish God would say that about me. And hopefully that would be your desire too. But is that all we know about David? No, David made a lot of big mistakes. He committed adultery, and the child that resulted from that as a baby died. Can you imagine that? And then his family was a shambles. Evidently, he wasn't the greatest father in the world. And one of his sons rebelled and threw him out of, you know, took over the country and all kinds of other garbage. So we see David as a real person. We see him the good, the bad, the ugly. We can learn from his experiences, good and bad, because there's truth of Scripture. So you and I need to know this book. Now, can experiences be misleading? Can they be misleading? If I was a magician, or if we had a magician up here, actually we're going to have a magician that day, that December 18th for the kids. We're going to have a Christian magician here. All right. If we had a magician up here, invite one of you ladies up here and, you know, all of a sudden do a trick and you'd be gone. You'd disappear. Did you really disappear? No. That's the whole premise of magic is what? To deceive your experience. What you see is not what's really happened. So we can be misled by experiences. Do you think Satan can mislead your experiences? All right, that's why it's so important to judge experience by the Word of God. And there's some branches of the church that are very high on the experience level. That is fine if that's your preference, as long as you check those experiences with God's Word. For example, I've never tithed. I'm 60 years old. I've never tithed my income, and God's taking care of me fine. All right? Is that okay? No, because God clearly teaches in Scripture that it all belongs to Him, and especially the first 10% you're supposed to give to Him before you do anything else. Your experience is lying to you. I know people that have sex outside of marriage or even live together with other people. Really, nothing's happened to me. I'm fine. Does that make it right? Is your experience a good judge? No, because the Bible strictly says that's not the way you're supposed to be. What other examples did I write down here? I go to church every once in a while whenever I feel like it. Well, and my life's fine. Well, you judge your experience by that? What does God's Word say? The first day of the week, what? Go in the house and worship God. We're going to talk about worship the next 2 weeks, actually, and the next two teachings. Always judge your experiences by the Word of God. And then, as I said, try and learn from others. And fourthly, employ your experience to encourage and help people. All right? So I've had these experiences. Are they just for my own benefit? No. They're not just for your benefit. The girl that got lost her arm, was it just for her benefit? No, it's actually for the benefit of millions of people. Scripture says it this way: encourage one another and help one another. And one way, big way we do that is through our experiences. Why is it so important? One reason is because in the past we lived in multi-generational families. I remember growing up, my grandmother lived with me, my uncles lived with me, some cousins lived with me, and so we learn from those. Nowadays, you know, your parents may live halfway across the country. You don't have that. That family to learn from. So where do you learn? Well, from a different family. We would call it your church family. And again, I'll say here this morning, that's why your small group experience is so important, Because that's where you share experiences, right? You tell about your experiences, they tell you about yours. That's where you learn. We don't do it here on Sunday morning, do we? Shared experiences. Help encourage one another. The bottom line is this. Are your experiences intended just for you? Or did God have a greater purpose? Greater purpose. So how do you share that? One of my frustrations as a pastor is the untapped resources in a congregation. That's why we're doing this series. You have spiritual gifts you're not using. You have abilities you're not using. You have a heart, the passion you're not following. And you have experiences that you should be sharing that you haven't been. God wants to use. Especially your negative experiences. Your hurts. Maybe you've lost a loved one. Someone else has gone through that. Maybe you've been through a messy divorce. Maybe you went through bankruptcy. There's no experience that you can go through. You know, your kids, teenage kids have gone wild. There's no experience that you can go through that somebody else hasn't gone through, right? And what's God wants you to do if you've experienced that? Well, Scripture tells us here in 2 Corinthians. You've survived whatever it is, right? You wouldn't be here if you hadn't. So you survived it. God gives us comfort in all our trials, so we can be comfortable? No. So we, in turn, may be able to give the same sort of strong sympathy to others in their troubles that we receive from God. So God, help me through it so I can do what? Help you through it. Now, the only way I can do that is to share it with you and to offer to help, right? This means if we experience trouble, it is for your comfort and spiritual protection. So God's comfort me, not for me to be selfish, but for me to help you. Do you know that God expects you to use your experiences to help and encourage others? I pray that you do. We're going to look at a video that it's about surfboards, but it kind of sums up this series. In fact, he uses the word shape in this video.
Okay, I've been shaping boards for about 35 years, a little longer. Shape, you know, I don't know how many. I stopped counting because it was kind of making me feel old. But, you know, well over 50,000 surfboards by hand, you know. And I was a sculptor major in college. I don't look at just people as being different. I look at them as being really different. So when I look at anybody, I block them off. I see the shapes in their bodies, in their faces, and everything like that. So that's what I do with surfboards as well. When we make a board, we have a plan. And the board is designed for a specific use. And when I make a 10-foot PBU, pray before use board, that's meant to ride a 30-foot, 20-foot wave. And that won't ride a 2-foot wave. So each one of these boards is a unique board for a specific job. You know, a surfboard, we look at the outside of a surfboard, we probably can tell pretty much what it's for. To know your purpose and what you were designed for, a person has to look in the inside of themselves. Because even though people might look differently on the outside, it's more what goes on the inside of a person.
Unique shape, design for a purpose. The surfboard for a 30-foot wave doesn't work on a 3-foot wave and vice versa. You and I are shaped for a purpose. You know, some of us aren't shaped to be worship leaders. Some of us aren't shaped to be pastors, teachers. Some of us are. Your shape determines your purpose. We spent 6 weeks talking about this. I hope you understand that you're not different just to be different. All right? You're different for a purpose. Your life matters to God and it matters to other people, and that's why it's so important that you utilize your shape for the kingdom. You can have tremendous impact on the lives of other people. So I'd suggest or offer this prayer for you as we finish this morning, as you commit to your shape. God, I give you all that I am. I belong to you. Let's pray. God, I am blown away by the wealth here in this church, whether it's spiritual gifts or abilities or experiences. And God, I just so desirous as you are that these folks would find out their shape and put it into practice, use it, further your kingdom. If the church would do this today, God, we would turn the world upside down as they did in the first century. God, help each person here. Not just, okay, that sermon series is over, go to the next one. But to really take time to figure this out. For your glory, but also for their benefit. As we've said over and over again in this series, there's no greater feeling than being used by you. And God, we offer that prayer to you this morning. Use us. Use our experiences. Use our gifts. Use all of us. We're all yours. We pray for any person here, God, that's not a believer this morning, that they would acknowledge the fact that you created them and you uniquely designed them to be the person they are. They're one of a kind. That you have purpose in that. And that purpose will never be fulfilled outside of a relationship with you. They won't have the power. They won't have the freedom of forgiveness of sin to blossom into all the person they need to be without a personal relationship with you. So I pray for you this morning, if you're not a believer, to accept God's gift, to enter his family, so that he can grow you into be the complete person he wants you to be. Thank you, God, for your gift of your son, Jesus. I thank you for each of the folks that you have brought here for this ministry. And God, we look forward to seeing how you grow them and grow us to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. As I mentioned at the beginning, you have a response card. It's your opportunity to tell us about what God's doing in your life. I'd be interested now this series over if you give me any feedback on the series itself. Found it beneficial? Maybe something I left out that you'd like me to discuss or what questions you might have. Obviously, if you're considering accepting God's gift of salvation, certainly let us know about that. No pressure, but we'd love to just sit down and talk with you and help you understand if we could do that. Just share with us what God's doing. Again, what lesson you learned this past year, I appreciate that also. Thanks.